Joe Biden compares MLK to George Floyd. Democrats want unvaccinated people to be locked down in their house, and a mother forces her child to be gay. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So let's go ahead and jump right into things with MLK. Martin Luther King Day was yesterday, and of course you had many Democrats that were trying to virtue signal over this. They were trying to use this day to talk about everything, things that really didn't even have to do with MLK at all. So let's go ahead and start with Nancy Pelosi, for example. So she said that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson would have tears in their eyes that the filibuster is being used in ways to federalize elections. So she goes on, and somehow she manages to tie MLK into this. Check this clip out here.
Our democracy, because nothing less is at stake than our democracy. This is about suppressing the vote. It's about nullifying the elections, which Dr. King talked about that day. Nullifying the election. It's about just doing so many things to be obstacles to participation. That's wrong. The truth is, that's wrong. And this family, and John Lewis, and so beautifully that this bill is named for him, but the first bill, he wrote the first 300 pages of what is now called Freedom to Vote. And as has been indicated by the King family, this bill is supported by all of the Democrats, House and Senate. It's just the filibuster in a way. So in a way, if you really truly want to honor Dr. King, don't dishonor him by using a congressional custom as an excuse for protecting our democracy. We have no right to honor this family, to visit the monument. Imagine 36 years old, left this earth in such a way that he has a monument on the mall, along with Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them with tears in their eyes for the departure from our democracy that is happening right now, unless the truth is acknowledged and this legislation is passed. And with that, I want to yield to our distinct, am I introducing?
All right, so she's basically saying, first of all, so she's getting into this whole idea of MLK and kind of trying to draw this all in there, but in reality, that is not what is going on right now. That's really not what we need to be focusing on. She's trying to cover all of this up and say that, oh, well, this is really about voting rights, and this is what MLK would have wanted, which is just not true, to be honest with you. And she's specifically talking about the filibuster, which, by the way, MLK was actually very much so a believer in the Constitution of the United States, something that Democrats are not very into right now. They aren't. They're trying to get rid of the Constitution. They're trying to disobey the Constitution. They're trying to get rid of it entirely. But MLK was actually a fan of it, and he talked about it in the I Have a Dream speech. It's right there. However, her trying to bring him up into all of this doesn't really fit in the situation, because all Democrats are trying to do, as many of you already know, is really just to expand their ability to allow for them to do whatever they want at the voting booths, whether that be fraud, you name it. They want people to be able to walk in and or not walk in, mail in, be able to do whatever it is that they want to do when they show up. No IDs needed, nothing, no standards that are just common sense that every other country has except us. They're trying to get rid of that and basically making cheating easier. It's common sense. You can see it right on their face. So Joe Biden was also commenting on this, but not recently. This was actually an older clip from 2020, where Joe Biden said that Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did. Now, I think what he was trying to get at that point in time was to say that the real thing, the real important person is George Floyd. It's really what I think Biden was trying to say. But because of the circumstances, it comes off as extremely racist and absolutely a ridiculous statement, because Dr. Martin Luther King changed everything. I mean, at least in the sense of who he was, the day and everything else like that, where George Floyd was actually a criminal. And of course, I'm going to get a little bit just in a second into more of who MLK really was. But the truth is that for Joe Biden to make a statement like this is absolutely ridiculous and insane, because George Floyd was a habitual criminal. He was somebody that was on drugs constantly. I've talked about him ad nauseum on the show before, but just, this is not the comparison that you really want to be making. But Democrats are doing it because George Floyd is the person that they're trying to deify. They're trying to turn him into the new Martin Luther King in a way, or at least they tried to. Of course, it didn't really work at all. But we also have to look at Joe Biden's history. Many people don't even really remember a lot of this stuff. So Joe Biden is friends or was very close to Robert Byrd. I think he was actually at his eulogy, all of that stuff. I mean, that guy was proudly a member of the KKK. So Joe Biden making these statements is absolutely insane. And of course, he is one of those people that is always saying something ridiculous anyways, but especially when you have the situation with George Floyd and MLK, Democrats always mess this entire situation up. But let's go ahead and get into MLK, because a lot of information has become available now that was not available before. And a lot of people have it in their ideas or in their minds exactly who MLK was to them. But in reality, the picture that's been painted isn't exactly what you may think it is. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's important for everybody to understand that nobody is perfect. And I'll go into that a little bit later, but the point is that no one is perfect. People have issues. It doesn't matter who it is, but let's go ahead and jump right into this. So first of all, one of the big things was actually about MLK on the riots. So MLK had in some way spoken out against riots. And in some ways, he kind of tiptoed in the middle. In some ways, he was kind of saying, yeah, it makes sense why they're doing it too. So on the one hand, a lot of Democrats are using his statements where he was kind of for the riots and using that to prove their arguments. And you have conservatives that are kind of on the other end that are saying, well, he said this too. The fact is that MLK was on a very, very broad spectrum with the way that he saw riots. And of course, I don't think his take is correct on what riots are. And I also think that times were very different back then than they are right now, but still, it's something to consider in all of this. So one of the things that he mentioned, and this is a quote from him saying, urban riots are a special form of violence. They're not insurrections. Once again, I don't agree with that notion that he's making there, but that's something that he actually said. He goes on and he said, the rioters are not seeking to seize territory or to attain control of institutions. They are mainly intended to shock the white community. Which is a lot of the language you're hearing from BLM very recently, in the last few years, and they are actually trying to seize territory. I mean, look at the Chas Chop Zone, if you remember that, and other things where they have done that, where they've destroyed governmental buildings, they've done this type of stuff before, or courthouses or what have you. He goes on to say, it is incontestable and deplorable that Negroes have committed crimes, but they are derivative crimes. They are born of greater crimes of the white society. So once again, this is not true. And we have to look also at what the point of rioting is, because this is something that I've mentioned before with BLM in the past, that rioting has only hurt the black community. That's just a fact. It's caused billions of dollars of damage that has mainly burned down black businesses. Look at Officer David Dorn, for example. He was the one that was shot and killed outside of a friend's store that he was protecting. Black guy killed by also black rioters and looters. So what was the point of that? Do you think MLK would be saying that's perfectly fine for them to be just out in the street killing other black people? I don't think so. I don't think he'd be saying that today. But the fact is that doesn't make me agree with the things that he was saying about this. There's even some information as well about him working with communists. For example, his top advisor, Stanley Levinson, is actually a member of the Communist Party. He was a member of the Communist Party until 1956. And he even gave MLK $10,000 just 1 year after meeting him. So this is some interesting information that we're getting here, right? And it only gets worse, actually. So the beginning stuff actually isn't all that bad. But let's go ahead and go into the rest of what's there. So we also have information that in 1964, MLK watched his friend, also a Baptist minister, Logan Kearse, rape a woman at the Willard Hotel in D.C. So this is all based off of FBI surveillance that was happening at the time. I get it. We don't trust the FBI, but these are apparently going to be available. All of the audio transcripts and everything are going to be available in about 5 years. So in 2027, we'll have all of this information. However, right now we have transcripts showing exactly what's going on here, where the group apparently met in the Baptist minister's room, discussed which women among the parishioners would be suitable for natural or unnatural sex acts. When one of the women protested and she did not approve of this, the Baptist minister immediately and forcefully raped her. And apparently, Martin Luther King looked on, laughed, and offered advice. So this is not a good look, right, for MLK, for the family, for any of this stuff. And the fact is that none of this is actually really refutable by the people that are involved in this or for the people that knew MLK at the time. Nobody right now is actually refuting this. They're just simply upset that the FBI was spying on him. But facts are facts. Now, before I go on to the other things that are also just kind of bad as well, that does not make MLK a rapist. There were some people that were commenting on this basically saying, well, at least I'm not a rapist like MLK. That's not what happened. Misinterpreting facts and trying to make a joke out of it just because you can doesn't make any sense. You either report the facts or you don't. Move on from there. So moving on, what he basically also did was he apparently participated in massive orgies as well. Now, of course, that whole Reverend Dr. King obviously was kind of alluding to this idea that he was religious in some way, and he talked about that often as well. But here you have these acts that are taking place that are clearly not Christian behavior. These are not things that a real true man of God would actually do in a lot of these situations. There were apparently 12 people involved in these different orgies and things like that, and the list kind of goes on. And if you're wanting any more information on the specifics of this, you can pretty much find it pretty easily right now. A lot of people have it. Steven Crowder ran a segment as well talking about this. So there's a lot that is there to unpack. And I think that on the real lesson here to me is really to the left-wing people. It's to the Democrats, because they're the ones that want to pretend as if they worship Martin Luther King. They're the ones that, in the same vein, tear down statues of Thomas Jefferson and other founding fathers simply because they had a past that or did something in their lives that wasn't exactly up to the moral code that they consider to be a standard today, which obviously is not the case. But you get the idea. They were tearing these statues down of these people saying, well, they lived an imperfect life, or they had these mistakes that they made. Well, look at these mistakes MLK made. Should they be taking down statues of him as well? I don't think anybody would be advocating for that. I don't think anybody would want for that to happen. Yet that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to do this. So this is a message mainly to the Democrats that nobody's perfect. But I also think that this is a message as well to conservatives, to all of us. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's me, if it's somebody else. Everybody has made mistakes in their lives. They've done things that they regret doing or whatever it is. To use that and to basically attack the person and say that they're the worst person in the world, we must never talk about them again, it's just a part of that cancel culture idea. I mean, Trump does not have a perfect past either. A lot of people forget about that. Nobody has a perfect, sinless life except Jesus Christ. So for us to, you know, see this and say, okay, well, that's not good. Yeah, we can observe it as not good. But at the same time, I understand that this is the marks of somebody that is simply imperfect. So anybody that's out there, you know, throwing a bunch of stones at other people because they did something and they did this and they did that, listen, I'm fine. I'm here reporting this because I'm trying to just bring you the facts of the situation. I'm not here to simply judge this person and say, this is this and this is that, and he and his sinner, this what he did and everything else like that. I'm not trying to do that. I'm simply pointing out what facts are here because a lot of people don't know what it was. But at the same time, no one's perfect. You won't find anyone that is perfect. And if anybody's out there saying that they are, or simply spend all of their time attacking someone else and that's it, and never really reflecting, doing any self-reflection, I can assure you, they have their own problems too. And that's what we really need to be focused here. So it does kind of offer this understanding that, hey, this guy was not perfect, which I already knew. You know, it's no surprise to me. I never worshipped Martin Luther King. I really could care or couldn't care less about what he was doing in his personal life or any of the rest of that stuff. A lot of it is really bad. And I hope that he was able to repent of those sins, I have no idea. That's between him and God, not me. But I'm bringing you the information so that you have it, so that you know what's going on, because hopefully in the next 5 years, we'll actually be able to hear these actual things that were said, that the actual FBI recorded, because that, to me, would be really solidifying in all of this. However, this is what we have right now, and that's basically what I'm reporting on. So there's actually a clip that I also wanted to play that's dealing with MLK. I forgot to play this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to show this to you now because I think it's at least kind of gives a bit of a lighthearted approach to really what's going on right now in our society. So if MLK were alive today, we know that things would be different. I honestly believe that he would be labeled as a right-wing extremist and probably just about everything else, because the stuff that he believes, Democrats pretend like they support, but they really don't either, right? Because all of the things that he was talking about were dealing with equality, right? The I Have a Dream speech, the one that we all kind of know certain parts of it, we probably have it kind of ingrained in our mind a bit. That whole, or at least the majority of that speech, is dealing with stuff that Democrats do not support today. So what would that I Have a Dream speech sound like if it was actually done today? What things would MLK have to change in that speech to make it align with the far left Democrats and what they would want to hear today? Here's a bit of a funny sketch dealing with that. Check it out here.
I have a dream that my four gender neutral children will not live in a nation where they are judged by outdated norms like their character, but exclusively by the color of his or her Z skin. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. Fact checkers have determined this to be potentially harmful and misleading information. I have a dream that little black children and little white children will stand 6 feet apart at a pride parade to watch a man be ball gagged and bullwhipped without fear of age propriety. I have a dream that one day, even in the state of Florida, children of all colors and racial identities will cover their faces to learn critical race theory over Zoom while dissenting teachers are fired for things they said online 6 years ago and are taken out of context. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of science's children, yes, yes, when all of science's children will be able to sing with new meaning. Oh, there ain't no other way, baby. I was born this way. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. So let Sheetum ring from the tent cities of Los Angeles. Let Sheetum ring from the safe spaces of Brooklyn. Let Sheetum ring from the tech firms of Silicon Valley. Yes, all right. Let Sheetum ring from the brunches of Santa Monica. But not only that. When we let Sheetum ring from every drum circle at Oberlin and from every remaining Apple store in Portland, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's pronouns, POCs and bi POCs, Latinx persons and Chicon X, yeah, the asexual and the aromantic, allosexual and the autosexual, queers and the gender queers, the LGBTQ, the LGBTQIA, the LGBTQIA plus, the LGBTQIA plus dollar sign eggplant emoji, the Neptunic and the Trixic, the sometimes questioning and the two-spirited, yes. We'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old spiritual, stay home, yes, stay safe. Thanks, science almighty, stay home, stay safe. Spirit fingers, please.
All right, so credit to you, Steven Crowder, for that one. Go check that out on his show from yesterday. But absolutely hilarious, of course, and I mean, you gotta love it because it really just showcases how the far left has changed, right? Because it's obviously over the top and there's all of that stuff in there, but that's really how it kind of is. You have Democrats wanting this speech that would, if it was done today, they would want all of that in there. They would kind of hound you if you didn't have it in there. All of the things that he was saying before are far too conservative nowadays about the content of your character. That's outdated. Let's sheetum ring, right? Not freedom. That's what we need to be focused on, of course, in the future, because that's the only way that we can move forward at this point in time in 2022. But that's how Democrats think. That's exactly what's going on. All of this stuff seems crazy, but it's happening right now. And if you don't support it, you're going to get ousted from that party, from that group. They don't want you anymore. You say anything that's contradictory to what's in the speech on Twitter, and I can assure you, you're going to get your tweet censored, you're going to get it removed, you name it, or attacked by a bunch of left-wing people, because this is exactly what they believe. So it's funny and hilarious to hear kind of, you know, Crowder imitating MLK's voice and talking about that. But this is a very real thing that could that he would need to do today to align with that party right now. So it really just kind of puts things into perspective there. Hope you guys enjoyed that as well. So to switch stories a bit, right now there's actually a new poll that came out. Rasmussen that actually tried to get the opinions of Democrats, of course, on different vaccine ideas. So one of the first things that they found in the study is that 78% of Democrats support a vaccine mandate, which is insane. And really, to me, I think that this is because they want their feelings to be validated. Because I can assure you, out of those 78% of Democrats that want a vaccine mandate, guess what? They've also been vaccinated too. And guess what? They probably all got COVID already. So it's like you wanting to basically mandate something that's not going to change anything, that didn't clearly help you at all, but yet you see them do this in this situation. Also, it found that 59% of Democrats favor unvaxxed people being basically confined to their homes in like solitary confinement, basically quarantine. So 60% of Democrats are saying, you know what, if you're unvaccinated, you should not be allowed to leave your house. They're basically trying to make it into Australia here. 45% of Democrats favor internment or special facilities for those that refuse the vaccine. So basically what China was doing, where they kind of had people separated, and actually Australia was doing that too. They had several COVID camps, apparently, where you couldn't live in your own home. You had to be forced to be around other people that had COVID, force-fed meals, all that stuff. Basically, it was like a kind of a prison in a way. 45% of Democrats are perfectly fine with that. That should bother everyone. These people are absolutely out of their minds, okay? I want to know where this study was. I don't know if it was just a completely randomized thing or if it was just like a specific state, or I have no idea, but this is insane. If these are anything to go by, Democrats have lost their mind in what is going on in our society right now. They have no idea what makes America America, and they're perfectly okay with this ridiculous dictatorship type of ruling here. So they also went on to say that 48% of Democrats favor fining or imprisoning people who publicly question vaccine efficacy. Almost 50% of Democrats. They're perfectly fine throwing you in jail simply because you questioned how effective a vaccine is. That's absolutely crazy. So 29% favor removing custody of children from parents who are unvaxxed. So just absolutely insane how this is happening. So they want to take your kids away. They want to do all of these things. These numbers should be zero. Nobody should want to have these things. And think about this too. Flip the sides for a second. Whatever conservative values you have, Christian values you have, could you imagine me or anybody that's a Christian saying, you know what, 80% of Christians feel like people must be forced to convert to Christianity, right? They must be forced to be baptized. Could you imagine what that is? We understand that it is meaningless unless people choose to do so. But Democrats don't believe that. They want the government to force people to do that, those things. It doesn't work that way. It's crazy how insane they are in our society right now, and they're perfectly fine with this. They probably see no issue with holding these positions. But make no mistake, these people that feel this way are absolutely out of their mind and are out to get everybody. It doesn't matter what it is. Today it's vaccines, tomorrow it's something else that they're going to be trying to get the government to force you to do. And that should worry everybody, because these people have absolutely lost it entirely. So there's another story here, and it's actually referring to this school. This school was actually dealing with a club that they had available to children. And this is at an elementary school, by the way. So the flyer says, "Hey kids, let's have fun at after school Satan Club. This is not a joke. If you're watching this on video, you actually can see the flyer that I have right here. You can see everything on here is actually real. This is from the school. This is a Satan Club at an elementary school. I kid you not. I honestly thought this was a joke too, but it isn't. So this is at Jane Addams Elementary School. You can see it says all children, grades first through fifth, regardless of religious background, right? They have all this stuff, and you can completely register like this. This is absolutely crazy. So it's saying benevolence and empathy. That's what your children are going to learn in a Satan Club. Like, huh? What benevolence and empathy is involved with being a Satanist, right? Critical thinking, more like critical race theory, I don't know. Problem solving, creative expression, and personal sovereignty. I mean, this is insane. This is insane. It says the Satanic Temple supports children to think for themselves. All after-school Satan clubs are based on a uniform syllabus and emphasis on scientific, rationalist, or non-superstitious worldview. I really don't understand why this is allowed, but you can't have a Christian club in an elementary school right now. That's really the point that the first thing that this thing made me think of. Why is it? All of these years, you can't say a prayer in school most of the time. You definitely can't teach the Bible in school. You can't talk about anything religious in school. But the Satan Club, they're perfectly fine with. This tells you that this was never about some separation of church and state and religious with things. That's never what it was about. It was always about the fact that they hate Christianity. They don't want kids to hear about the word of God or to hear anything about Jesus Christ in a school. They do not want that to happen, but they are perfectly fine with having a whole club set up to the Satanic Temple. Wake up, because the reality on the ground is that these people are simply anti-Christian, not just trying to fulfill some law that they think the founding fathers felt. No, that's not what this is. These people are absolutely out to get you if you have any kind of religion that is based in Christianity, God, or anything else like that, because this is allowed. And that's crazy that this is happening right now. I mean, they're talking about science projects, puzzles, games, arts, crafts. They're trying to make it sound fun, right? But you know that there has to be something else in there. I hope we see more of what this is. Like, I'd love for a parent to maybe spy on somebody or something to kind of see what is actually taking place in this thing, because I assure you, it's nothing good. It can't be. But yet, they're allowed to do this, and Christians are getting kind of the raw end of the stick here. That's what I really don't understand whatsoever. Basically, last story of the day, you have this mother that was involved in a video on TikTok, and the child, her son that was in the video, kind of outed her and kind of said the truth, which is the fact that she wants him to be gay. Check it out here.
White people that aren't like serial killers like Ted Bundy.
Does your mom say you have to be LGBT? No, I can choose what I want to be,
Go ahead, Lex, go ahead, keep talking. Say what you're saying.
My mom doesn't matter if I am gay or lesbian or any of that. She doesn't care. All she cares about is that I'm a part of it. And if I'm not a part of it, she'll try to convince me to join it.
What? Are you saying right now?
Facts.
That I would convince you to join what?
The LGBTQIA+ community.
All right, so it gets like facts. I mean, this is actually kind of sad, because to me, it's you have this child there that's actually kind of just saying exactly what he feels like. And the mother kind of, I don't think the mother expected him to say that. I really don't. Because the mother's kind of say, hey, go ahead, keep talking, right? And then he automatically comes out and says, oh, yeah, my mother's totally forcing me to basically be a part of this. Well, but the thing is that she allows me, she doesn't care whether I'm gay, trans, lesbian, this, that, right? As long as I fit in this bubble of the LGBTQ+, whatever it is, right? That's where we're at right now, where you have these parents that are trying to push this on children. And then we wonder why the rates of these things are going up. Right? We wonder why you're seeing far more gay people, far more people that are in this. The trans numbers are skyrocketing right now. People that are part of this whole thing, these numbers are going up, and they're going up when they're a lot younger. And obviously, if you're listening to this on the audio, you really don't even need to see the video to know that this child is very young, right? They're obviously young And the mother is doing this. There's his other, brother that's sitting next to him has the blue hair. I mean, it couldn't be more stereotypically leftist and far left with the way that this lady is raising her children. And we want to pretend as if this is some natural thing. They were totally born this way, but she's going to totally try and push him in a certain direction. The Bible didn't lie. Raise your kids in the way that you want them to go. And the left-wing people are doing that. But they're doing it in the opposite way. They're saying, I want my kids to be gay, trans, lesbian, whatever. They want that to happen. And then they want to contribute and be like, oh, look, my child is so special. They're part of this group, and I'm so progressive as a parent. They're not raising these kids to be whatever they want. They're pushing them in a direction and pretending as if they have all this freedom. Notice how it's kind of a confined freedom, right? Because that's exactly what the child said. She doesn't care what I do within this bubble as long as I remain in this bubble. And if I don't, and if I'm not in this bubble, she's going to be upset at me. She's going to be mad. She's going to try to convince me that I need to be in this bubble. And the mother's like, oh, wait, that does kind of sound bad, doesn't it? But if the child can recognize this, and I highly doubt that the mother was like, you need to be gay. You need to be lesbian. She probably is just sitting there just like, yeah, you know, you should read these woke books over here. And look, it's okay to be gay. She probably talks about it so much that the child gets the impression that she clearly wants me to be this way. That she'd be upset if I wasn't this way. She's trying to lead me down a path on purpose. And she isn't even self-aware enough to realize it. But the child is. So this is happening right now. It's not just on a parental level. It's on a school level with teachers that are convincing children to do things that are in the sex ed classes are trying to tie this kind of weird stuff in that's where it's not even really necessary. And they're putting this in our schools. You're seeing this with parents, and we're wondering why the numbers are up like crazy. This stuff needs to stop. This is child abuse. You should not be introducing these ridiculous notions to your child when they're too young to be dealing with anything with sex anyways. These kids are simply too young to be doing anything with that. And yet you have them introducing this stuff, messing these kids up for life. They end up with issues. They wonder why that happened. Starts at the home. It really does. The home influences basically everything, far more than what people realize. With that being said, that's all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Remember, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review as it does help the show out. But with that being said, I will see you on the next one.